This is a replay of the Tuesday night, January 27th WGN show. We started around 10:30 right after the Blackhawks. If you don't hear yourself on it, well, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number, from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have a couple hours to spend together, and I hope you'll join me. And next hour, we'll talk a little about Open the Door, Richard, but I'm not sure if Cheryl is listening yet. And that will lead us into the Signifying Monkey. So that'll be our history lesson for the night. And some of your requests as well. But speaking of days gone by, I found a list of things that are no longer here. And actually, the list is only partly right. But Blockbuster Video, and I think that is true. I think they are now all gone. I remember seeing something about the last one remaining, but I think they're all gone now. But Sears are not really all gone, but if you can find one, good luck. They're certainly going. Pontiac. I was really sad about that, actually. And when I bought my Z28 in 95, part of me wishes it was a Firebird, so I'd have something that would be iconic. And after all, the parts are exactly the same, so what the heck. But nonetheless, I think if anybody were certainly in the 60s or 70s asked what car brand is likely to go away, Pontiac would have been on nobody's list. Now, Oldsmobile, maybe a little more, but oh man, I miss them. Yeah, the 442, that was a nice car. And of course, in 1966, when they debuted that Toronado, ooh, loved that, yeah. Especially that that speedometer, where the indicator stayed stationary, but the numbers moved. Yeah, that was neat. And of course, front-wheel drive and all those other things. And of course, that was in the day when you really did have electric windows. Yeah, before they were worried about the kiddies getting their hands cut off or something. Yeah, just instantly, just beautiful. Woolworths. Now, see, I digress because I'm pretty sure there are still some Woolworths in Mexico. The last one I saw was in Laredo, which is exactly like being in Mexico, actually. You kind of have to look around and make sure that you didn't take a turn somewhere. Compaq? Yep, absolutely. And interestingly, the story on Compaq has a 5 1/4 floppy disk on it. Talk about things of days gone by. But what was really nice when CDs came out, those 5 1/4 disc holders, I had a beautiful one in teak, fit the CDs perfectly. So that was actually a good thing. Pan Am, yeah, they did it to themselves in some ways. But that dates back to when airlines couldn't choose where they were flying. The routes were assigned. Yeah, so Pan Am merged with National because they wanted some domestic routes. And, well, you know the rest of that story. TAB, right. I remember a story years ago about, of all things, LBJ and why he drank Fresca, of all things. That was his favorite beverage. And it reminded me a lot of Tab in that, not the taste, God knows, although both of them were bad. But apart from that, in that, grown men didn't want to admit they were drinking a diet anything. So have a Tab, have a Fresca. I don't know if Fresca's around anymore either. Borders, and I didn't know they were gone, but I'm not totally surprised as far as that goes. And then the final one on the list was Burger Chef, which I miss. And if you spend any time in Indiana or surrounding states, you probably remember Burger Chef and Jeff, and all that kind of stuff was found in Indianapolis in 1954, and it was great. In fact, in the 70s, it was in Indiana, one of the biggest competitors to the Golden Arches. And of course, unlike McDonald's, Burger Chef, much like Dairy Queen, went into the smaller cities. Yeah, the C&D counties and things like that, the small places where McDonald's hadn't yet gotten. So at one point, they had 1,200 of them. And they were actually the first to introduce the kids' meal. Yeah, before McDonald's. Well, 1980s. What happened in the 1980s? Vulture capital is what happened exactly. And they were bought out and the restaurants were converted to other brands. And I think the last one to actually close its doors as a Burger Chef, it was, 30 years ago this year. 1996. So that's some of what's on my mind. As I say, going to play all your requests, but the deal of, and Cheryl had called saying, do you know about Open the Door, Richard? Well, how could I not? And, but she didn't realize that it's an entire saga. So we'll talk about that. And of course, closely related, in my mind anyway, the signifying monkey. All right, so all that is coming up. In other words, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And we'll kick it off with Chris in Ohio. So Chris, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
How are you?
You talked about, you wanted a Pontiac. Yeah, and I like Pontiac, too, and I really don't think it should have been killed.
Yeah.
But you said the parts were interchangeable with Chevrolet?
Well, with the Z28 and the Firebird were very, very, the Trans Am were very close.
Yeah, but that, they call that badge engineering when the parts really are interchangeable between, but GM didn't always badge an engineer, and that got them in big trouble.
Yes, it did. Absolutely. Especially when some of the higher-end cars were represented as high dollar, and they were carrying Chevrolet parts.
Yeah, exactly. And it was Oldsmobile that actually triggered the lawsuit.
Yeah.
When somebody brought in, I think it was a Cutlass, and they had to go to the Chevy dealer to get parts for the engine.
Oh, yeah.
Even though the engine had the same displacement as the Chevy engine, mm-hmm. the parts weren't interchangeable. Now, Chrysler and Ford, especially Chrysler, I know Chrysler did, and I believe Ford did, their parts were interchangeable.
Yes.
If you had a Mercury, you could go to a Ford dealership and be none the wiser because they were the same part as the Mercury, so
right.
Nobody was really hurt.
Right, especially that LTD and the Marquis Brougham.
Yes, yes. Land yachts.
Yes.
Which brings up another thing. People say, what happened to the mid-priced cars? Well, what happened to the mid-priced cars really was that the opening price cars became the mid-priced cars, and it was really the opening price car that disappeared.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. But, I guess when you get to a certain age, it proves you're really old. You look at the price of everything today, and you just cannot believe it. It doesn't seem possible. But regarding cars, the prices of today's cars, I expect indoor plumbing for that price. So I don't buy new cars. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
But I will say that there are so many more bells and whistles, whether you want them or not. Like, I prefer cars
precisely.
You can work
yeah.
on than cars that are computerized to within an inch of their life cycle. But really, they've got so many features that we never thought about having. Now, the one that I will say I am so glad is that backup camera.
Yes, it does. That can get you out of quite a few jams. I always wondered, they always run these straight line inflation calculators, and they don't really factor in the differences between what is today as opposed to what a car was in, say, 1965.
Right.
I just wonder if anyone had ever done a study that would say, what would it cost to build a 1965 Impala today? That would tell you really how much is inflation, how much is more features and benefits.
And you picked an interesting year, of course, because that was such a shocking change with the Impala, because the 64 was still a box, like the 60 to 64, and 65, man, the curves and all that, it was absolutely different. So that'd be an interesting connection there.
My father owned one, which is why I'm so fixated on them.
Oh, yeah.
He actually had a Bel Air, but, to have an Impala sports coupe with the... Rear radio speaker centered instead of blasting the ear off of the passenger, the right rear passenger, while you can barely hear it up front.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, it's interesting he had a Bel Air because, of course, if he had a 64, the Bel Air would have been the mid-price model. The Biscayne was discontinued in 65. So and then the Bel Air. And, yeah, and there was one on top of the Impala. What was it? I don't know, the Caprice or something? I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, 65 was, and I think it was mid-year they introduced the Caprice. Yeah. And the first full year for it was 66.
Yeah.
And from that point on, you could almost always... you count on seeing a Caprice being shoved at you first ahead of an Impala.
Right.
Of course, the funny thing was, in 1970, they made the Caprice the car of the year.
Yeah, who makes those decisions?
I don't know, because if they were going to make a top-of-the-line opening price car that's a car of the year, it should have been the LTD. Because you can't mistake an LTD for any other Ford.
No. But like I say, a little bit like a Mercury Marquis Brougham, but certainly not for any other Ford. I would agree with that. Now, interestingly, that Caprice, you probably remember this, one of the engine options was a 454. It was 7.4 liters. That was a nice honking engine.
Yeah, that was nice. But, you know, as I say, you couldn't, you know, unless you really knew what to look for, you could mistake it for an Impala.
Of course.
You could not mistake the 70 LTD for anything else, not even a Mercury.
Yeah.
It was so unique. It should have been the car of the year.
Yeah. I wonder who, and yes, I remember them. I remember them well because I love those, you know, headlights, the retractable, whatever they call them.
The retractable headlights.
Yes, love that. And I always thought that was the coolest features in cars. That's one of the reasons I like that 66 Toronado. And the 70 Ford LTD definitely had retractable headlights.
Yes, yeah. And that grill, that was just so perfect.
Yes, you know, exactly. And it looked nice. You know that
exactly.
Yeah, because some grills, man, it's like, I don't like, man, those Edsels. Oh, that grill. Oh, my good God.
Yeah.
But that LTD grill was really nice.
Yeah, that's why I say, you know, it. Nothing else. It couldn't be mistaken for anything else, not more expensive or less expensive. It was the LTD. Mm. And it had all those nice features. So why wasn't it the car of the year?
Well, I'm trying to figure out. I'm looking here. The 19 they have European Car of the Year selected by a panel of motoring journalists. So who cares? The Motor Trend Car of the Year. Well, in 1970, interestingly, the Ford Torino won for Motor Trend. The Import Car of the Year, that was also Motor Trend, picked the Porsche 914. Oh yeah, everybody could get one of those. All right. So meanwhile, that's interesting. Who was it who determined that the Caprice was car of the year? I've got my work cut out for me. I am going to see what I can find out.
Yeah, I'm using Facebook as the guy, and I don't remember who they cited as the source.
Oh God, Facebook! Oh my dear God! Well, I don't have that option. I'm pleased to say so.
I understand. Yeah.
All right. So, but I want to know. There's got to be some sourcing of this. So. I'll look around and see what we get here. It's a wonderful subject. Thank you.
Can I make a trio of requests before we hang up?
Yes, you can.
Okay. I call this the tragedy trilogy of country music. The three saddest songs without being, you know, you're trying to be sad.
Is Red Sylvine on the list somewhere?
Nowhere near it.
Okay.
It's one Connie Smith song and two Tammy Wynette.
Okay.
Burning a Hole in My Mind.
Okay.
Even sadder than that is Another Lonely Song.
Okay.
And the saddest one is, I believe it was Mark Chestnut wrote it. I'm going blank on the title. The story about, it is a story about the child dying. It was a story about the one where the last line slips into a trance.
Mm.
I'm going up on the name.
Trying to think what it would be that Mark. Well, I know Mark Chestnut actually covered Apartment Number 9, but
No. He was. I looked this up.
Oh, wait a minute. He stopped wondering right. Today. That I think of that as a George Jones song.
Not that one.
No, oh, not he. Good one. Stopped loving her today, because that's the big.
No.
Okay.
Well, that is a good one, but yeah, the wonders you perform.
Okay. All right.
But only when Tammy sings it, because
okay.
Connie covered it, and she, you know, her faith just came too strong. You know, she was a good Christian.
Oh, absolutely.
Good Christian girl. But with Tammy sung it. I mean, she sang it because, you could just feel it in her voice.
Yeah, yeah. No.
She's losing her mind. She's reaching out to God because it's the only thing suffering from insanity because of what she was put through by that tragedy.
I'll play it tomorrow night. You betcha I will. And you're right. Tammy had that that voice that was unmistakable as far as that goes. I was expecting to hear Spring by Tanya Tucker on the list you made some nice choices there. All right, Chris, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
All right,
thanks.
So let's see what's going on in the world at large. Well, actually, it's not time for the news. It's time for this on WGN Radio. I'm Riley James, and Electric Light Orchestra, that was Billy Bob's request from last night, Hold On Tight, 1981 on Jet. And I already found all three of Chris's country criers there that will play tomorrow night. And after the news, we'll get into Open the Door, Richard, and if you're unaware of that. But for right now, we have, at least for a minute, we'll start with Eduardo, and then we'll finish after the news. But Eduardo, welcome back to WGN Radio. What's up?
Yeah, Riley, I was trying to stay warm over here, but it's warmer than up north.
Yes, it is, although it's more humid where you are, so we give you credit for that.
Yeah. Hey, I got to start. I'll get to Gladys West here, Miss GPS, here in a moment. But is it pronounced Nokomis, Florida, where they did this diesel gasoline mistake? How do you say that?
You know, I don't know. Nicole? And I thought I knew every city in every one of the 67 counties, and I don't know.
Nokomis.
Yeah. Well, you know,
in Florida.
Yeah, I understand it. It's Sarasota County, but it absolutely I don't think was there when I was. You know, that was like underwater land as far as that goes, and it's like between Osprey and Venice, and I have no idea. It's completely unincorporated. Jetty Park is there, and so that's
okay.
But anyway, what'd they do there?
Well, the customers went in there and they got diesel instead of the regular. So now they're filing claims. Yeah, and a lot of, it was quite a, bill to do the repairs.
That
because it caused all kinds of car problems.
Yeah, I seem to remember it wasn't an area. There was like an attraction, and I'll have to look it up. But there was an attraction, but no homes at that point. But interesting. I'll look for that. All right. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll absolutely look and see what went on there. They had a drum circle or something. I don't know. All right. So we'll pick it up there right after the news. We got Clayton, we got Cindy, and we got you, I hope, on WGN Radio.
Old band's been out to the club having a little ball tonight. My friend Richard went home early, you know. He's got the only key to the house. I'm gonna have to knock on the door to see if I can get in. Open the door, Rich. See, Richard sleeps in the back room. It's kind of hard to hear. Maybe I better knock a little louder. Open the door, Rich. I don't think Richard heard me yet. Knock one more time to see what's gonna happen here. Open the door, Richard. Open the door and let me in. Open the door, Richard. Richard, why don't you open that door? Open the door, Richard. Open the door and let me in. Open the door, Richard.
Richard?
Richard, why don't you open that door? Richard, open up the door, man. It's cold out here in this air. Now look, there's that woman across the street, looking out the window. Every time I'm late, I wonder about where's he been? Where is he been?
Trying to find out what's happening.
Yeah. Yes, it's me and I'm late again.
Did you hear what the lady said, Jack?
No, what she said, Rayburn?
She said, oh, boy, if he was only by.
Nah. I have to knock again. Richard's got to get up. Open up the door, Richard.
WGN Radio. Man, I'm Raleigh James. That's the original. That's Jack McVeigh and his All-Stars. Open the Door, Richard. And in that case, drummer Raybone Tarrant was doing the vocal. 1946 on Black and White. But the bit predates it by decades, actually. It's a comedy bit, and it was big in vaudeville, and certainly before my time, but I am aware that Pigmeat Markham used to do it in vaudeville, and he credited a guy, Russell, forget his first name, but Russell, with the origins of it. The show was called Mr. Rareback, and the person who performed it was a comedian at the time in vaudeville, John Mason. And it's an improvisational thing. And so Mason and Russell and Markham, all of which were vaudevillians, African-Americans performing all in blackface, but who made it famous more recently. Now, by more recently, I'm talking about the 1940s, all right? But even so, made it more recently was Dusty Fletcher. And he used to do this at the Apollo Theater. And in fact, somebody said there was a film of it, and I've never seen it. Maybe there is, but okay. So it was somewhat of a prop. Dusty Fletcher would come on stage. He'd be, you know, dressed in rags, drunk. The only prop he had was his ladder. So here's this drunk with a ladder, and he'd repeatedly plunk the ladder down stage center and try to climb it to knock on an imaginary door. Of course, he'd then, you know, go crashing to the ground, sprawling out, half shouting, half singing, "Open the door, Richard!" And then what would follow was an improvisational comic monologue. And what the audience was doing basically was imagining what Richard was so busy doing inside that he wouldn't open the door. So Jack McVeigh came up with a musical riff, but clearly didn't come up with a bit. The bit had been around, I say, for decades before that. There's a lot of talk about who did what to whom in terms of writing credits on this, to say the least, and we won't even bother to go there. But after Jack McVeigh's version in 46, Dusty Fletcher, the guy who was doing it on stage at the Apollo, he came out with a version as well, and that was on National Records.
Oh, so you throwed me out, huh? Well, that's all right. That ain't the first time I've been thrown out of a saloon. I know what I'll do. I'm going on home and get me some sleep. I wonder, what did Richard do with that key? When did he go to sleep with the key? Well, that's all right. I'll just wake him up and make him open the door. Open the door, Richard. That's the boy I rooms with. Open the door, Richard. I know he ain't going out nowhere, cause I got on the clothes. Open the door, Richard. Now that's when I don't like to room with nobody. He don't want to open the door for me. And I owe just as much rent up here as he do.
Open the door, Richard. Open the door and let me. Open the door, Richard.
Yes, I know he's in there because I got on the clothes. All right. And there were other lines about welfare and stuff like that, and a policeman who allegedly was arresting him. Saying, "You act like one of them police that ain't never arrested nobody before." And that was his version. But a year later, now, by the way, neither of these were real hits. Well, a year later, Count Basie comes up with a version, and it is huge. In fact, it goes to number one in Billboard in 1947, and the vocalists on that were Harry Sweets Edison and Bill Johnson.
You see, old Bass gave us a part at the club tonight. Old Richard went home early. He's got the key to the house. I'm going to knock on the door and see if I can get in. Open the door, Richard. You see, Richard sleeps in the back room. It's kind of hard to hear. Maybe I better knock a little louder. Open the door, Richard. I don't think Richard heard me yet. Knock one more time. Let's see what's going to happen. Richard, open the door, please.
Open the door, Richard. Open the door and let me in. Open the door, Richard. Richard, why don't you open that door?
Richard, open the door, man. It's called hole out here in this air. Now look.
And so it was, I say, number one. And when I say number one on Billboard, I don't mean on Harlem Hit Parade. It was the number one best-selling record for something like 7 weeks or something. It was big. Now, about the same time, Louis Jordan, who was my favorite, Louis Jordan and his Timpani Five, he came out with a version as well.
I met old Zeke standing on the corner the other day. That cat sure was booted with liquid.
He was what?
He was obnoxicated.
He was what?
He was inebriated.
He was what?
Well, he was just plain drunk.
Well, all right, then.
He sure was salty with the bartender. The bartender's trying to make him buy another drink. Zeke told the bartender, ain't no need of me buying no drinks when everybody else is buying them. I'm gonna drink to everybody's health till I ruin my own.
Open the door, Richard!
Why, he don't know who he's throwing out of that joint. Why, I'll go back in that joint and take a short stick and bust it down to the ground.
Open the door, Richard!
But I hate to be caught out on the street like this, cause it makes you look so common. And I know I ain't common, cause I got class I ain't never used yet. But I guess I better get on.
Yeah, obnoxicated. So yeah, that's just that's Louis Jordan all the way around. Another group that charted, not for very long, but I'd say a good 3 weeks strongly on the charts were the Three Flames.
Open the door, Richard. Open the door, Richard. Open the door, Richard. Hey, Dick. Open that door!
Open the door, Richard. Open the door and let me in. Open the door, Richard. Richard, why don't you open that door?
Yeah, so there you have it. And I'm sure there are many other versions as well. But again, it was a comedy routine based in vaudeville. And then Dusty Fletcher just incomparable on the stage at the Apollo. And, you know, it's a setup. And in the setup then comes, you know, comes the routine. So that's the deal there. Now, when I'm asked about that, I always say, you know, it's a lot like the signifying monkey to me. Anyway, I see a real commonality, and possible that you're not aware of the signifying monkey. But this is one of the best ever in terms of African-American history as far as that goes. And so I'm trying to think of it goes back to the late 1800s or something. It was around for a long time, and African-American culture. And again, it was the monkey in the narrative is is really putting one over on the lion, convincing the lion that he has to fight the elephant. That's the theory. But in the process, the language is just priceless. And of course, not only that, but there are so many versions of it. That's why it reminds me of Open the Door, Richard, in that everybody ad-libbed their own to that based on, you know, again, the concept of signifying. And as far as that goes, so I'm trying to. I did pull some of that too. But Signifying Monkey, one of the first guys to do it as a song, and I've got it here somewhere. I should have been a little more prepared for this, but no. But one of the first was Willie Dixon, who I absolutely love. And so to give you an idea.
You ain't a doggone thing. She's the monkey to the lion on a bright summer day. There's a big fat cat living down the way. He talked about your folks in a heck of a way. A lot of other things I'm afraid to say. The lion jumps up all full of rage, like a Harlem cat that's blown his cage. He meets the elephant up under the tree. He says, "Now, big boy, it's you or me." The elephant looks him from the corner of his eyes. Better find someone to fight your side. The lion jumps up, he makes a fancy pass, but the elephant knocks him over in the grass. They fought all night and they fought all day. I don't know how the lion, well, he got away. He come back to the jungle more dead than alive, and that's when the monkey really started his jive. You call yourself the Jungle King. You call yourself the Jungle King. You call yourself the Jungle King. I found out you ain't a doggone thing.
All right, so this goes back, as I say, 1800s, and it actually came about Signifying Monkey, and there are so many verses of this, not only in songs, but poetry and African folklore in general, and there's always the verbal duels as far as that, and it shows the importance of wordplay, linguistic skill, and, you know, historians say it was a key tool for resistance and subversion, and I won't even get into that. But supposedly, and I wouldn't doubt it, that's the deal, because the Signifying Monkey's not just a comedic figure, he's embodying a lot of serious themes, and that's true. But we are the benefactors of that, because, as I say, there's so many versions of that, and they are just truly hilarious. But yeah, he's signifying. So we have Willie Dixon. Then there was a guy in Memphis, and this was interesting. He was on Sun, of all things. He was a rockabilly guy, Smokey Joe. Smokey Joe Ball was his name, but Smokey Joe, who did a version as well. So yeah, the rockabilly version. Well, it doesn't really sound like it.
Well, just as far as the eye could see, I was a signifying monkey in the coconut tree. Now, deep down in the jungles, where the coconuts grow, lives a signifying monkey that the world should know. He told Mr. Lion one bright and sunny day, he said, "There's a big burly elephant coming down your way." Now, I know Mr. Lion, he couldn't possibly be your friend, 'cause he talked about the shape that your family was in. Now, you know, he talked about your mother and even your sister, too. Man, he shook his fist at your daddy, and man, that big cat flew. Now, Mr. Lion, listen on. Man, he got sore. He popped that long, bushy tail like a 44. He went on off down through the jungle with a terrific breeze, knocking coconuts from coconut trees. Well, just as far as the eye could see,
Yeah, and then Oscar Brown in 1961. Oscar Brown is just terrific. We played several of his, and he's just wonderful. But he had a fine version in 1961 as well.
Signifying Said the signifying monkey to the lion one day, hey, there's a great big elephant down the way, going round talking, I'm sorry to say, about your mama in a scandalous way. Yes, he's talking about your mama and your grandma too, and he don't show too much respect for you. Now, you weren't there, and I sure am glad, cause what he said about your mama made me mad.
Signifying monkey.
And of course it develops the same way. And there were a couple versions I wanted to play for you. And both are Johnny Otis show versions, and his son Shuggy does the vocals. I can't do it because they're just so explicit, it would have taken me hours to edit them so I could get them ready for air. But if it interests you at all, the 1968 version was on an album called Cold Shot, and the 1971 version of Johnny Otis Show was on an album called Snatchin' the Poontangs. Yeah, that tells you all you need to know about what the song is probably like. So we didn't go there. But I did find one version that actually I don't think was released at the time, but later wound up on one of those, you know, best of greatest hits type thing of a German import of all people, Sam the Sham doing it.
Just as far as the eye could see was a signifying monkey in a coconut tree. Now deep down in the jungle where the coconuts grow lives a signifying monkey that the world should know. He told Mr. Lion on a bright and sunny day, there's a big burly elephant coming down your way. Now I know Mr. Lion, he couldn't possibly be your friend, cause he talking about the shape that your family's in. Now he talking about your mother, even your sister too. He shook his fist at your daddy, man, that big cat flew. Mr. Lion, listen.
And there are many, many, many versions of it, to say the least. Like I say, it's one of those that improvisational. There's probably hundreds of versions of it, actually. And the bottom line is it's wit and wordplay. It's a character who can outsmart all his powerful foes, you know, the signifying monkey, various versions of the specifics there. So that was the deal. And of course highlights the value of intellect and humor in confronting social issues, obviously. But for us, it just was a great song, I thought. But it does remind me a lot of Open the Door, Richard, from the standpoint, not that there was any real significance to Open the Door, Richard, but it was one where there were literally hundreds of versions, depending upon who was doing the comic routine. So I hope Cheryl heard it, and I hope she liked it. And we'll pick it up. We'll get to Cindy in Chicago and Clayton in Indianapolis and you two on WGN Radio.
Wait a little while from now, if I'm not feeling any less sour, I promise myself to treat myself and visit a nearby tower. And climbing to the top, throw myself off in an effort to make clear to ever what it's like when you're shattered, left standing in the lurch at a church where people are saying, my God, that's tough, she stood him up. No point in us remaining, we may as well go on as I did on my own, alone again. That only yesterday I was cheerful, bright and gay, looking forward to who wouldn't do the role I was about to play. But as if to knock me down, reality came around, and without so much as a mere touch, cut me into little pieces, leaving me to doubt. Talk about God in his mercy, if he really does exist, why did he desert me in my hour of need? I truly am indeed alone again, naturally. It seems to me that there are more hearts broken in the world that can't be mended, left unattended. What do we do?
WGN Radio, I'm Ronnie James, and that was Jeff in Homewood who wanted to hear it alone again, naturally, Gilbert O'Sullivan. He was only 21 when he wrote it, and that surprised a lot of people, including Neil Sedaka, who was very surprised and said, God, I wish I wrote it. And so, great song, but always winds up getting some votes on the world's worst hit records. And I don't know, 1972, and it was on Ma'am, it was a 45. It wasn't on the album that came out then, although the CD issues, I think, included it, but originally not. There was something interesting about it in terms of the way it charted, because it was number one, but not in a row. Like for 6 weeks, it was number one, but they were not consecutive weeks. It was between late July and early September, and it was number two overall for the year. So that was it. 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Stan is in Dearborn. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
Hi.
That was a great thing that you had over there with... Open the Door, Richard.
Yeah, I hope Cheryl heard it, because, you know, she only knew it as a song and really didn't know it. I said, oh, there's a story here.
And one of our collectors also collected these things called talkies.
Yes.
And there was a Louis Jordan one that we saw with him doing the bit of...
Well, that's great.
Yeah, it was great.
I loved him, and of course, he was really hot for a while, and then, boy, crashed and faded hard, and he should be remembered, and most people don't.
Oh, yeah. Saturday Night Fish Fry.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that of course, was a national hit, but, you know, Five Guys Named Mo. I mean, there's so many Louis Jordan things. So
they did quite a few of those on the talkies, and it was, I think it came out... They were like short movies from the late 40s, I think it was.
I wonder if any of those are on YouTube.
I don't know. That could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, they might be.
Like, ain't nobody That's here right. but us chickens.
Yeah. And also about the Signifying Monkey, that kind of reminded me of the Coasters' Run, Red, Run.
Oh, yes. Yes, I love that song.
Red made the monkey, taught the monkey how to play stud poker. When he caught him cheating, he grabbed his gun.
Yep.
And he told him, you made a man out of me, and I'm going to make a monkey out of you.
You know, you're right. I never really put that together before, but I'll bet you that's exactly what Lieber and Stoller were thinking.
Yeah. And, you know, last night when you had somebody was doing their charts, and you had the George Harrison song.
Oh, yeah.
And you talked about the He's So Fine with the Chiffon Salon Case.
Yes.
I never really saw that either, but I got a record from Fortune Records where George Harrison really got it from. And I've never heard anybody say anything about Oh My Love by Cozy and the Crescendos.
Really?
Yeah, on Fortune number 566.
Okay.
Came out in 1965.
Interesting.
It's called Oh My Love. And on the label, it just says Cozy. And on the flip side, it's got the Crescendos.
Okay.
And the Crescendos were Fortune's house soul band in the mid-60s.
Right.
And the Browns, they always had a knack of getting the wrong names on the labels.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that the truth? Yeah. It's just like, obviously, these people didn't count to them. But all right.
They had Gene Allison on a record that the Crescendos backed up.
Oh, man.
And they just said Gene and the Jeanettes.
And the Jeanettes. Oh, the Jeanettes. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's,
and that's Gene and Jeanette. That's Gene Allison.
Yeah, that's Deborah for you, I'm sure. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
So now I
want to... Deborah Brown, yeah.
I want to hear this.
If you get a chance to hear this, Oh My Love.
I'm planning to hear it right
Cozy.
Now, I hope.
Yeah,
you'll
find out that's exactly where George Harrison got it from.
Wow,
and why they were.
Bye.
Absolutely. I'm surprised that they didn't speak up.
Yeah. So Devorah Brown, I don't know, she might have had something going that she didn't want to be, you know, involved in it.
I can't imagine. Yeah. And
I
love it.
They're pretty good. She's a good business person.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And she was the heart and soul of it, much more than her better half. But the other thing, you know this, but for people who know about the crescendos, remember, it's crescendals, not crescendos. It's D-A-L-S,
right.
Which is
what
I always thought was hilarious.
Crescendals, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's cozy. Actually, there's a book out called Mind Over Banner.
Oh, I have that book. I love that book. Yes, it's packed, but I have it.
And that's they talk about it in there. And one of the members of the Crescendals said that Cozy was a member of a group called the Conservatives.
Okay.
And they don't know why. You know, they didn't put the group name down. They just put down Cozy. And then on the flip side of this, it's supposed to be a song called Love is a Beautiful Thing, with a different member of the group, Bunny, doing the lead. But they did not put that on the back side. On the back, they've just put the instrumental, backing of Oh My Love.
Interesting.
And why they did that, the member of the Crescendos didn't know. But
wow. Yeah.
So that's real close to where George Harrison got it.
That absolutely is very close. And I can't imagine, you know, firstly, I can't imagine that he'd run into the record, but obviously he did, I would think, because it's not like Cozy got a lot of airplay anywhere.
Right. Yeah, I don't think this was nationally distributed. It's probably Detroit, Chicago, Pittsburgh, that's it.
Right. Although it's so weird because, you know, the Liverpool area and parts of England wound up getting a lot of records, that a lot of flops, too, that were popular there. So I'm sure there's a conduit. But even so, that's amazing that absolutely when it opens, it's like, well, it is. That's absolutely the same record. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure is.
Oh, I love it.
Okay,
I'm sure your listeners
were enjoyed hearing that.
Yes, absolutely. And I did, too. Thank you.
Okay,
bye.
All right, nice talking to you.
Likewise. Yeah, I had no idea. Cozy and the Crescendals. I think I actually have that record, but I don't know that I've ever played it. And the only reason I think I have it is when I was packing stuff, I remember coming across it, and I thought, I wonder what this is in the box. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Cindy is in Chicago. Hello, Cindy. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Ooh, that Open the Door was pretty humorous.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah, that was pretty humorous. Nothing on the radio today. I've been listening to WFMT a little bit, and just depressing stuff on the. It was real cute, you know. You're Open the Door, but then I don't want to be a total downer. But something real bad happened here. But anyhow, God has been really blessing me.
Okay.
You know, God has been blessing me. I made money last week. You know, my day trading is picking up. And
good.
All the ethnic stores around here have terrific sales. They had a bucket of beef, Italian beef, for $10, under $10, the giant bucket.
Huh.
And I got two buckets of beef, and we had beef sandwiches, and we put green peppers and onions, and we had the French buns, and we had that. And then I got at Jewel about two weeks ago, I got for a dollar, you know, those clip the coupon, for a dollar, I got a 6 ounce bottle of imitation vanilla extract and onion.
Okay.
And 3 pound bags of oranges for $1.99 at the other store, and I don't know, just everything is real. It's Chicago is really a very nice place. But what happened? Did you ever have like any Robert Frost poems? That one Robert Frost poems in English 101. 102 or poetry, you know, the dark, whatever it was called, the road less traveled or whatever it was called.
All right. What about it?
Well, what, you know, know, just the dark, you know, the darkest day of the Saturday morning, it was 10-11 degrees below zero, okay? And I hear this big bang, and I'm like, huh? You know, and I looked out the window. I thought a garbage truck, you know, making noise with a dumpster or whatever. And then the fire truck, you know, my bedroom faces the street. The fire truck, police, bunch of cars go, and I'm like, and then I wake Mike up. I'm like, Mike, you know, so then I'm like, so I put my real, you know, from Burlington Coat Factory, they don't make them anymore like this coat. And I put that coat on and I went out there and covered my face. Three cars totally demolished and totaled.
Okay.
Apparently, I can't, you know, I was hoping maybe you could find out what the story is, because I can't find anything in the news or anything. Apparently, it's supposed to be a drunk driver who smashed, I mean, the wheels were off the car as they were smashed so bad.
Now, what does this have to do with Robert Frost? By the way, it's the road not taken, not the road less traveled, but a lot of people make that mistake. But anyway, what does this have to do with Robert Frost?
Well, the thing is, it was the coldest frickin' day of the year. Who is going to spend the coldest frickin' day of the year out drinking and come home at 5 in the morning drunk and drink and drive? And it's so cold here. Why would someone do that? It's the coldest, darkest day of the year to do.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, you're asking about the human condition and why people do the things they do. Firstly, if we could answer that, we could all make a fortune. But the reality is that could be so many things that we wouldn't stop talking for months. But anyway, people do, and he did. And this was this Saturday morning?
It was Saturday morning, the 24th, 6700 block of Irving Park Road in the Dunning neighborhood. And I can't fuck. You know, everyone in the condo building doesn't feel good after this happened. I mean, usually if it happens in the summer, you think somebody's crazy, driving crazy, you know, we're excited, the weather.
People could do anything, but no, nothing's coming up on this immediately.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. It's just, I ended up taking in just seasonal depression. I did my day trading, that went real good, and then I felt real good and ran a bunch of errands. I went to Salvation Army and took a feather quilt and a divet and got a prescription and went to the library and went to Dollar Tree and got pretzels. I don't know, and then I started feeling sick. I mean, it's just seasonal depression, you know, from the cold, and I don't know. Everything was going real good until this accident happened. I even put my bread maker on, and we're having it.
Well, don't buy trouble that isn't yours. You're fine, and it had nothing to do with you.
Well, I guess there's people in my building whose cars were demolished.
Well, and they have insurance.
But with the people on the second floor, they don't have no registration, and I don't even think they carry it. I mean, that we have a lot of problems with them. Everyone was nice to them when this happened, but I told the association president, you know, if they don't carry insurance and hit a child, they're going to lose their whole condo.
That's just the start of the problem. But anyway, the only thing I see as far as Dunning accidents like that goes back to February of last year. So it hasn't made the news. Or if it has, I can't find it.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, well.
All right. Don't worry about it. Take it out of your mind and realize that it has nothing to do with you and all is well.
Yeah, I guess I'm parked in the parking lot. I don't have to worry about that kind of thing no more.
All right. And it's just a car. So not worthy of worrying about anyway.
The wheels were knocked off.
Well, that happens. All right. Good deal. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. It's always something, isn't it? 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Foregoing the bumper at the moment because we're a first-time caller. We're going to hit the news, and I know he's not going to wait that long unless we kind of encourage him to do that. So, John in Wisconsin, welcome to WGN Radio.
I enjoy your program. I listen to it every night that you're on. It's a very enjoyable program. I've got to ask you two things. First of all, do you know anything about the Indian Crossing Casino up in Waupaca?
Some, but what's the other one? Tell me the other one. We're going to break for news, and then I'm going to come back. What's the other question?
Talk to you about the old-time radio shows.
Oh, yeah. Love that.
Pre-TV era.
Yeah, and, love that. A lot of that online, too, because most of it's public domain. Well, hold on. Don't go away. Stay where you are. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So that's the deal. And yeah, you might hear silence until we get back, but we'll pay a couple bills and we'll do a little news, and that'll be it on WGN Radio.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Of course, that's Johnny Cash, 1961 on Columbia. And that was Dennis in Indiana. Yeah, who is... out in the cold, keeping everybody safe, and yeah, our captive audience inside and Dennis outside, and we hope he enjoyed Ring of Fire. All right, so 888-876-5593, back to John and Old Time Radio. So, all right, so Old Time Radio, one of my favorite things because so much of it is public domain and it's all online. So what's your favorite?
My favorite is RadioEchoes.com because it has all the old programs, original broadcasts, and I enjoy listening to those old-time programs.
Which is your favorite, though, as far as the shows? What do you really like?
The shows, oh, my goodness. Suspense, Gunsmoke, Unshackled. Let's see what else we've got. There are so many different programs. They even have the original World War II broadcast, the news broadcast,
right.
Whether it was from the bombing of the various places, whether it's Burma or whatever. But I just enjoy listening to the radio shows. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about is the Indian Crossing Casino up in Waupaca. Back when I was growing up, back in the 40s and the 50s, prior to TV, we used to go up there on weekends, and fortunate enough to see the Everly Brothers are there at one time. Ricky Nelson would stop by, because they, between Chicago and Minneapolis, most of the performers going to Minneapolis from Chicago stopped by the casino and stay a few days to perform, and after that, apparently it closed down, but I was lucky enough to call up there and find out that they reopened it, and hopefully go up there again this summer and reminisce again from the old days.
Oh, absolutely. Now, the interesting thing about it, you know, because you've been there, and of course it started in 1925, but the Indian Crossing Casino is actually not a casino. It's,
right.
You know, a lot of people think of it because there's now so many Indian casinos. Oh, it's another casino. No, it's actually not. You know, their all-day fish fry on Fridays is good, and the dock and dine and everything else, and it's open year-round on Chain of Lakes, as you
It's Columbia Lake, and as you know, all the lakes up there are interconnected.
Right.
The dance floor up there, they've got the old wood dance floor, which we hope to get back up there and get on the floor again. And they have some performers coming through once in a while, but I'm not too familiar with the names of the performers right now. But back in the early 60s, when the Everly Brothers were stopped by, because Don Everly was going out with a lady from Two Rivers at the time. Mm-hmm. And I'll get off the phone and let other callers call in, Raleigh. But I just wanted to call and say hello. And you've got a great show and hope to call in again sometime.
Well, I'm delighted that you called. I hope you will again. And I want to find out when you go up there, because it reopened in 2024, I think May or so, right before the season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different ownership. So I'll be curious to see how it is.
I will call back when we go up there this summer.
Sounds great. Thanks. And thanks for calling.
Have a nice evening, Raleigh. Goodbye.
You too. Okay. So, yeah, absolutely. And so good to see it's back. Hopefully it is back and as it was before. Jim is a first-time caller, and he's in Elk Grove. Welcome to WGN Radio. Are you there, Jim? Did we lose you? I was afraid of this. Oh, I'm so sorry, Jim. Call me back. Yeah, when I saw that, I said to John, I said, the news is on. Jim's not going to wait. Well, he didn't. So hopefully, I'm glad he's listening, and thank you, Jim. And hopefully you will call back. Robert in LaGrange has some requests. So what do you want to hear, Robert?
Oh, yeah. My request is another Gilbert and Sullivan. It might have been a follow-up. It was called It's Really Out of the Question.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Claire. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And then another tune that I thought of when they mentioned the name a little earlier on your show, the name Crescendos,
Julie.
I did. Yeah, that's not really a request, but it's not really the greatest tune. Yeah.
No, but at least the group there was Crescendos. This one from Fortune Records, they were the Crescendals, D-A-L-S.
Oh, I got it wrong then.
Yeah.
Crescendal.
So, yeah, right. Oh, exactly. That's what I mean. The Crescendos, that's a normal name for a group, but Crescendals, who the hell are they? Well, we never really found out.
Right. So Gilbert O'Sullivan's one would be nice. And then if you want to play the old Julie, that's up to you. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, it was a hit. All right, we'll do it. Thanks. Appreciate it, Robert.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Now. All right, so 888-876-5593. Would be 8888 Raleigh. Let me say goodbye to Robert and say hello to Mark. Mark in Aurora, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, a few tidbits about Gilbert O'Sullivan. When I could still see, I saw him on the Mike Douglas show. He had his red T-shirt with a big white G on the front.
Uh-huh.
And that was part of the reason for his name change, was that the record company thought Gilbert O'Sullivan would be more saleable. But he gave an interesting answer once when asked why he seemed to write lyrics that move so fast. What he said was, I don't think I'm a very good singer, so I don't want to have to sustain any notes. So by writing lyrics that move fast, I don't have to sustain any notes.
Which is interesting, but the real thing about his lyrics, and a lot of people, I mentioned Neil Sedaka, but there were many others as well who commented that for a guy who was, you know, basically 20 years old when he was writing this stuff, he was writing with somebody who had a worldview that would have been, you know, three decades older. So they were amazed when they found out this is a kid. And
he was a mature guy. And the other thing that's interesting is that when Paul McCartney heard Alone Again Naturally, he said, hey, I'd like to write a song like that. Now what an ultimate compliment.
Yeah, no, it was. It was absolutely a great song, although I thought, you know, I always liked it. So
extremely depressing.
Well,
I don't know.
Well,
I wanna show the world how much it hurts, so I'm gonna jump off a building.
But, you know,
that was how he felt. And maybe that was how he felt in real life. I don't know.
Oh, I doubt
it. Anyway, that's all I have on Gilbert O'Sullivan, but always found those things to be of interest.
Yeah, no, the only thing I knew about him is while he was writing and recording, he refused to date because he thought that women would be a distraction. And I thought, but he got married in 1980 to some Norwegian, and I guess still is. So, and
I thought of something else. The woman who really is Claire... Oh. Wrote an article about her uncle when she was an adult, and she said, "My uncle was the nicest, kindest, sweetest man you'd ever want to know. He would never have molested me." That's not what that song is about.
Oh, geez. Yeah, well, it never even occurred to me it was. Okay.
No, but a lot of people did think it was that. So she wrote an article to set the record straight, and it was a different. Oh, I forget what name was used in the song, but that was Gilbert O'Sullivan's real name, Uncle something.
Oh well, he was Ray. Raymond.
Yes.
Yeah, Ray.
Yes, he was Ray O'Sullivan. Yeah. But the record companies thought that Gilbert would sell better.
Well,
that was what they gave him,
and it worked on one song anyway. That's for sure.
Yeah.
There really wasn't any follow up that mattered.
I like the song that your listener named Isn't Out of the Question, and I also like Get Down.
Yeah, absolutely, they just weren't hits. That's
well,
the thing.
They were enough hits to get airplay, at least in Buffalo.
Well, right, but I mean, in terms of any real success from it, not like
Alone Again, Nashville.
No, exactly. So, absolutely. So that's the deal, and we'll play it. But you know, it's really sad to me that people are reading things into these, you know, these little pop songs. You know, it's like life is too short. Just enjoy the damn song. Don't look for a message. So, and
that song has. Claire has a little girl's laugh at the end of it. Mm. It's just such a touching, cute song. Yeah. You know, why pervert it?
Yeah, I actually don't want to hear it, but I just can't imagine, you know, going to this, say, oh, you know, that means, no, it doesn't. You know, get a life. All right.
What makes you not want to hear it, too?
Well, no, nothing like that. It's like the songs I like take me where I want to go. There's no way to explain why one would and one wouldn't. That's just personal taste.
I see.
You know,
gotcha.
Nothing wrong with it, but when I played it, it was never one where I would turn up the speakers. You know, it's just like, all right.
Oh, I get it. Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah, but,
appreciate
okay.
it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah. It wasn't obnoxious or anything, but just I don't know why some, and everybody's this way, you know, we'll argue over which songs do it, but let's face it, if you're at all into music, you have those songs that just take you exactly where you want to go. Yeah. And there's really not necessarily any logic to it. And I think trying to ferret out the reasons for that kind of demean what you're enjoying about it. So, life is too short. All right, we'll get to Clayton in Indianapolis. Chris in Greenwood, there's room for you too, and your requests coming up on WGN Radio.
Now there were three children from the land of Israel. They took a little trip to the land of Babylon. And old Nebuchadnezzar was a king of Babylon. So they took a lot of gold and made him an idol. And they told everybody, when you hear the music of the clarinet, they told everybody, when you hear the music of the flute, now listen, children, when you hear the music of the horn. Ah, you gotta bow down and worship the idol. How about the children of Israel? Wouldn't I bow down? We
to no golden idol. No, you couldn't fool the children with the golden idol. So the king cast the children in the fiery furnace. He heat on coal and red hot brimstone. The good cook said even made it seven times hotter than it ought to be. Now they burned up the soldiers that the king had put there.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Stephanie and Madison wanted to hear Shadrach, and that is the Brooke Benton version from 1961, and it actually came out 30 years after the first release, which was in 1931. But my favorite version was 1949, yeah, when Phil Harris did it.
Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. There was three children from the land of Israel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They took a little trip to the land of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. He took a lot of gold and made him an idol, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
And he told everybody, when you hear the music of the cornet and the flute and the harp,
you must drop down and worship that idol, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. But the children of Israel would not bow down, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Couldn't fool them with the golden idol,
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
I said you couldn't fool them with the golden idol,
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
So the king put the chillin' in the fire furnace.
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
Heaped on the coals in the red hot brimstone.
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
Seven times hotter, hotter than it ought to be.
Shadrach.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and so there you have it. I don't know what possessed Brooke Benton to do it, but he did a fine job of it. It was a hit. Yeah, in September of '61. So we've got Chris, and Chris is in Greenwood, South Carolina, don't you know? So, Chris, welcome back to WGN Radio. What's up tonight?
Hey, how's it going, Raleigh?
All right. How about you?
I'm fine. Guess what I found out when I was listening to the AM the other night?
What was that?
WBT out of Charlotte, 1110.
Yeah, we know about this. Very sad, isn't it?
Yeah, but they playing the good soft musical on there, and they playing them in loops, and that's really a good lullaby. But what happened? Why did they have to switch to FM?
Yes. Well, I think that, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that, including that that's where the bulk of the audience is. And of course, when you're on AM, especially when you're 50,000 watts, that's a big power bill. So it makes a certain amount of sense that you just say, might as well just shut it off. I think there's two reasons that AM sign off, I would say prematurely, but they would argue that. And one is, if it's directional, the chances are good the land the towers are on is worth more than the station. And if it's non-directional and high power, that's not like FM. You know, FM, ERP, effective power, can be very great, like 50,000 watts, but your forward power, what it takes to get in there, may only be 3,000 or 5,000 watts. Well, with AM, it's all 50. And, you know, you price power lately? So I think that that could certainly be part of it.
Yeah, and that station brings a lot of memories because are they going to shut it down for real?
Well, when you say shut it down for real, it's my understanding that they're turning the license, but I haven't, Radio 1, I haven't bothered to really look at that. And, whether anyone would want to pick it up, I don't know how that would work.
I hope someone saved that station.
Well, you know, I mean, the reality is that The signal started to deteriorate when the Buick dealer bought the station and sold off half of it. It used to be a 1A clear. And that's why, you know, it doesn't cover Gastonia at night, because the guy sold off half the signal to KFAB in Omaha. So,
it don't cover Gastonia.
Not at night. You see, that's
I can pick it up here in Greenwood real clear.
I know. Exactly. You can pick it up in Miami real clear, too, but you're not going to pick it up west. But as far as I know, what I heard was that Radio 1 said they would continue to operate it and they would announce new programming. And, you know, exactly when they'll announce new programming, I don't know. But meanwhile, they are just to the left of your glove box at 107.9.
Yeah, and playing good classical music and playing them in loops like The Message.
Right, right. That's that absolutely. That's the way that is. So they claim they will continue to operate it, but whether, you know, what it'll be and who knows. I couldn't begin to tell you. But, you know, if they are going to continue to operate, and they are going to continue to operate it at 50,000 watts, there goes my theory that they just, you know, don't want to pay the power bill because they'll have to continue to pay the power bill. But I don't know. You know, they don't call me. So.
Yeah, but what if, like, for my station, for example, I heard last week that WCRS, their AM transmitter is old and they're not picking up strong enough power at night.
Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, in many cases, the equipment will deteriorate and you need to replace it. If you're not fulfilling your license requirements, that's a problem. You know, if you're licensed to operate at, say, 5,000 watts and you got a transmitter that's only putting out 3, that's going to be an issue.
Yeah, and you know how much those AM transmitters cost?
Well, it depends. You know, I mean, it's not a question of that. It depends what AM transmitter you're getting. It also depends how much power do you need. You know, so it's a range. But you know, I don't know. I would say for $10,000 you could get something really nice.
Mm-hmm, because you know the ground wiring is wore out, and you know
Is
old.
So with AM, here's the deal. Part of the signal is the tower you see, and part of the signal is the ground that you don't see, the copper radials, the ground wire. If the ground wire is shot to hell, you got to replace those radials, or you should, because that is dramatically affecting your coverage.
Mm-hmm. And it's always going to local, like, instead of spreading out the county to county.
Well, there, you know, I won't comment on that. But what I will say is if it's a station that physically cannot live up to its license parameters, it's going to need to make some adjustments so it can.
Yeah. And the only one person running that station is Ann Miller.
Yeah. Whoever it is, whoever is the licensee whose name is on the dotted line, that's the person who is responsible.
Yeah, for keeping up all the expensive radio equipment.
Well, it doesn't have to be that expensive, but certainly you want to make sure, again, that you're fulfilling your license requirements and that you're on the air and not having problems. But that, you know, depending, that shouldn't be too much of a problem. If the station's not profitable enough to cover that, then it's usually time to say sayonara. That's when you sign off.
And you got to test your EAS systems too.
Well, obviously, and that's a very sad story. I realize I'm in the news right now, so can you hold on?
Okay.
All right, yeah, because this has been a while, and we'll pick it up right after it if you're listening on the stream.
And if we live to be 100 years.
and radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is Don and Beloit, who wanted to hear early Marsha Ball, and that's about as early as it gets. It's from her first album, Circuit Queen, I'll Be Doggone, 1978. A lot of talent in the background, those backup singers, Rodney Crowell, Albert Lee, Carlene Carter, Janie Fricke, and others. So that's the deal on I'll Be Doggone. And I just realized I played Gilbert O'Sullivan earlier, Alone Again, naturally, for Jeff and Homewood, and it said play it after 12:30, and I didn't realize that. So, Jeff, you'll have to let me know if you didn't hear it, and I'll put it back in rotation for, you know, tomorrow night or whenever, because I did play it, but didn't notice that note until just now. So, all right, back to Chris in Greenwood. So, that's all the deal about AM. So any other questions?
How long, you know, WBT had their affiliates, radio affiliates. There was NBC, I think there was CBS at one point.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know. But obviously,
Remember Mike McKay? He used to be a radio personnel, and he was the weatherman at Channel 3 in Charlotte.
Yeah,
right.
WBTV, yeah, from the latter 60s through the 90s, and yeah, he was originally Mike McLean, but since he was hired to back up Clyde McLean, he changed his name, and that's how he became Mike McKay. So yes, am aware.
Is he originally from Charlotte, or he's elsewhere?
No, I do not think he is, as far as that goes. But I shouldn't say no. But as far as I don't know, you know.
Yeah, but he's at WDAV,
right,
like doing classical music.
Right, yeah,
he's retired.
The Davison College station, yeah. So I don't know. That's you know, I said no very quickly, but I don't know. He might be, but I don't know. Yeah, there was somebody I was talking to, John, the other day, John Hook, who I used to love all of his beach music specials and all that. He was in Charlotte for years, and he's now in... I think in Kansas City, maybe. Anyway, move back with family. So I'm going to try to hunt him down because he was great for years in Charlotte.
Yeah, but when he was at BTV at Channel 3, he was the weatherman, and I liked his hairdo. And
all right.
And his voice, his booming voice.
All right.
He was a great man. And you remember Bob Inman? He was the news anchor when he was there in the 80s and the 70s.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And Sarah James.
So
now that was a good newscast there.
Yeah. I'm now trying to find out about, because I'm curious, I don't know about Mike McKay, where he came from, but I did not think he was Charlotte, but he may be. He was young when he got to town. I mean, he was in his 60s, but I didn't think that he was from there. So, all right, I'll look.
Yeah, he probably was born in the 40s or something.
Well, yeah, obviously, but yeah, I don't know. He came, he was very young, very young when he came there in 67, and I don't know where he was before that. I mean, obviously, where he grew up, I don't know. I'll look. I'll let you know.
Okay, so he was originally McLean instead of McKay.
Yes, absolutely. That was his name, and they said, well, you got to change your name because we already got a McLean. Yep. All right. Thanks. Appreciate the call.
Okay.
Okay, good. Yeah,
you're
so
welcome.
Where is he from? I don't know. But yeah, John Hook was there for years, can't even remember the call letters right now. The top 40 station that wasn't Waze. All right, that helps. And I think the one that Henderson Belk owned. But yeah, he wasn't from there originally, but sure did fit in. All right, so Jeff in Homewood. So Jeff, did you hear your request?
I did not hear. I missed it somehow.
Well, no, it's because I played it before 12:30. I didn't see that note. So yeah. I'll play it for you again, all right? In fact, I'll play it for you again as my next bumper so I won't forget.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so, you know, there's only so much Gilbert O'Sullivan to go around, and really that is a medley of his hit, several other records, but not really hits, so we'll do that. So 888-876-5593 if you want the waning hours. Tomorrow night, by the way, full show, and full show Thursday night as well. So if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine, and we'll try to cover all the requests. And I do, by the way, when I say I'm going to check that out, I actually do that. And for instance, when we were talking to Chris at the beginning of the show, he had said that he had read that the 1970 car of the year was the Chevrolet Caprice. And that's not anything I can find. So I said, I'll look. So for the last hour or so while I've been talking to you, I've been looking. And I am firmly convinced now that no, he said he got it on Facebook. Well, that's all right. It's in somebody's mind. No reputable source cited the Chevrolet Caprice as car of the year in 1970. And yeah, that's the deal there. So, all right, I checked, and there's something else I was checking on that I found out too, but I guess it would help if I write these things down so I could close the story and at least let you know what's going on. So Clayton's in Indianapolis. All right, Clayton, what's up tonight?
Hi, hi.
Yeah.
How are you doing today?
I'm here and you're there, so what's up?
I am actually wanting to, first of all, warn people in Indianapolis about another extreme cold warning that is in effect for the area. This was issued roughly 10 p.m. And it's in effect until 12 p.m. tomorrow.
Okay.
This was just broadcast over National Weather Service radio.
Now, by the way, don't you think that anybody who's listening to radio or TV is well aware of what you're saying? Because all the EAS stuff, if you're watching television, is on the crawl at the bottom. If you're listening to the radio, it breaks in. So don't you think everybody knows it?
Probably not.
Why?
Because they never look at that stuff.
Well, I would think if they're listening to the radio, they certainly would know. But yeah, it's extreme cold warning, and you've got it until, like you say, Wednesday at noon. So tonight through tomorrow midday.
Right, and this is just the beginning. You know how I did call in that one time about that key telephone?
Yes.
I'm talking to you on it right now.
All right.
I'm on, well, I got two lines hooked up.
Okay.
I'm on line one. This is going to sound kind of funny and interesting. I am calling from my bedroom in my house. And this is, I like to call it the nursery. This is the nursery's phone line. And then on line two, I got the main house line as well, two different phone numbers.
Well, the quality's not great, I'll tell you that. I'd love to tell you it was, but it's not great. I certainly can hear you, and it's consistent. I'm not getting any dropouts, but it sounds distorted as if you were overmodulated, so it's that form of distortion.
Well, I don't know. When I got the telephone, I had to make some repairs to it. I might have bumped something in it or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
I mean, I'm terribly bothered by it.
Right. Well, listen to the replay if you want, on the stream, and you'll hear what I'm saying. If you're into fixing it. Now, you don't have to. I understand every word you're saying. I just would say that it is absolutely distorted.
Well, also the thing is, I'm fairly loud, too.
Oh, I understand that. I understand.
That doesn't help matters.
Okay. All right.
And I've also got a VTEC cordless phone that sits next to my TV.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the phone on this line, on the nursery line. Then I got a phone line, obviously running through some speaker wire all the way into my bathroom.
Okay.
I basically hung that speaker up on the ceiling, ran it down the frame and underneath the bathroom door, and then ran it up above the, because the little mirror light has LED bulbs in it, so I'm not too concerned about that.
Okay.
But I ran up above the mirror light, and then I ran it down to where the phone is on the sink.
Okay.
And it is a brilliant red trim line.
Oh, yes.
Then I've got...
Now, is that, by the way, is that a trim line with touch tone or rotary dial?
It has both.
Oh.
It supports both. All of my cordless phones support rotary dial as well.
Yeah.
However, these lines do not support it.
Yeah.
The lines I'm talking to you on right now. Line one, which is my nursery's phone line, has the trim line, a digital VTEC phone on it with answering machine and this key phone that I'm talking to you on.
Okay.
Line two has obviously the second line of the key phone on it, and then it's got a Western Electric 2500 set,
okay,
and a VTech analog cordless set.
Okay.
And that's my rundown of phones.
Well, very good. All right. Well, you're enjoying yourself. That's what's important.
Yeah, and this is here at the college, and as you could probably hear in the background, I've got a radio going as part of my warning post. I basically turned this whole nursery into a command center as well.
Okay.
Whenever bad weather strikes.
Well, you certainly got it now. I think a wind chill of 25 below.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like that. It's now 9 below right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
so I'm not surprised.
Not fit or man for man or beast, so stay in.
Right. I was thinking about, you know, for doing something like the IU report,
uh-huh,
to, like, basically to tell everyone what's going on here in my little warning post.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out to basically let everyone know what I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
Because the telephones in where I'm at, especially in some parts of Indianapolis, telephones are out, and I can't get a hold of people that well, especially not this late at night, but primarily because telephones, some of them are out because of the snow having weighed on the lines and everything.
That's unusual.
Huh?
That's unusual.
Well, think about it. We got about...
No, I'm aware of that. It's just usually the phone lines are pretty impervious. But regardless.
Yeah, I just know some of them went out because of some stuff that I heard on the radio and some stuff that people told me. So I'm hoping,
well, there could be
that this AM signal reaches.
Well, there could be a lot of reasons. But the good news is almost 1 o'clock in, well, actually later than that in Indianapolis, right? Eastern time. So hopefully everybody's asleep.
Well, I'm not. Obviously, I'm not asleep.
No, I understand that. Nor am I. But as a group, most of the denizens of Marion County will be sleeping right about now. So no need to wake them to tell them about the weather.
That's good to know.
All right.
Also, what is it? I did get an Amazon Echo not too long ago and an Amazon Fire TV. Now, I'm kind of wanting to know, is there a way to connect my Amazon Echo to my home phone lines, be it here in the nursery or here in the main part of the apartment?
You know, I'm not going to be good at answering this because I'm so averse to those devices. So I don't know. As far as that goes, there's an Alexa communications app, and that will link. I know it links mobile, but I don't know if it supposedly Alexa to phone calling for landlines. There is supposedly something, but I don't know.
That's what I've been told, because I'm wanting to set that up in my bathroom as well. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I haven't named the nurseries Alexa, but I'm wanting to set it up in the bathroom as like an auxiliary telephone.
Well, supposedly you can choose up to 10 numbers, and they don't have to be mobile. They can be landline that you can call from any Alexa built-in device. So there is a way to do that.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to do is actually trying to place calls directly through my Echo.
Right.
From the landline.
Yeah, I think there may be a way to do that. But again, you'd need to talk to somebody who actually would use an Echo. I don't like any of the devices.
I wonder why.
Well, you know how they work, and I really don't want that. All right. I'll talk to you later. Thanks. Appreciate it, Clayton.
All right.
All right. Good deal. So, I don't have any smart anything in my environ as far as that is. Everything is dumb and stupid, just like me, really. We'll hear from Laura and Des Plaines in moments, and I think that'll be a wrap. But then there's, of course, tomorrow and Thursday right here on WGN Radio.
really nowhere. Club and you aren't in the club.
If your name is Bobby, how do we know it? If your name is Dee Dee, why don't you show it? When you have no button, oh what a shame. How in the heck will anybody know your name? Big name button, you got to wear a big name button. You got to wear a big name button.
Square and you're really nowhere.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. John came in and said, you were going to play Alone Again. Naturally, oh, I was, and I will here. But the Royal Teens did Big Name Button, and that was Chuck who wanted to hear that. Bob Gaudio and Al Cooper were actually in that group, but if you're wondering who the deep voice is, it's the drummer, Tom Austin. So Big Name Button. All right, so now, as far as since I told, said I would play Alone Again, Naturally Again. Yeah, I tried to fulfill these requests, so I just didn't remember what time it was that you wanted to hear it. So here we go again in a moment after I cancel Big Name Button. All right, and go to Alone Again. I think this is Alone Again, naturally. Yeah, all right.
When a little while from now, if I'm not feeling any less sound, I promise myself to treat myself and visit a nearby town. And climbing to the top, will throw myself off in an effort to make clear to whoever what it's like when you're shattered, left standing in the lurch at a church where people are saying, my God, that's tough, she stood him up. No point in us remaining, we may as well go on. I did on my own, alone again, naturally. To think that only yesterday I was cheerful, bright and gay, looking forward to wouldn't do the role I was about to play. But as if to knock me down, reality came around, and without so much as a mere touch, cut me into little leaving me to doubt. Talk about God in his mercy. If he really does exist, why did he desert me in my hour of need? I truly am indeed alone again, naturally. It seems to me that there are more hearts broken in.
All right, so that's for Jeff in Homewood, who I now know is listening and heard it. I hope you enjoyed it. And Gilbert O'Sullivan's still with us. He lives in the Channel Islands, and right now he's got laryngitis. I'm sure it's a short-term thing, but that's all I know, so which is enough. All right, 888-876-5593. The last call goes to Laura in Des Plaines. So, Laura, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, I'll make it fast. I know you only have a minute.
Oh, I got three. Darling, I got three. They're all yours.
Cindy, don't give out your address on the radio.
Well, yes. Yes. I just kind of glossed over it, hoping that maybe nobody would notice. I didn't want to call attention to it.
I, a single woman, don't do that.
Well, then again, maybe the joke is on us. Mm-hmm. Maybe she actually lives in Des Moines. Who knows?
Gee, but she knows all the stores. Yeah. She keeps naming them.
you're probably right. And but Cindy needs a lot to worry about. So if you're still listening, Cindy, add that to the list. All right.
I own a small business, as I think I've mentioned to you before. I could get free advertising right now, and I want customers, but I don't want people to seek me out.
Oh, believe me, I understand that. But if you send me an email with some particulars, let me know and I will not tie it to you.
Okay,
yeah.
It's a deal.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be happy to do that. And call me again soon.
Am I done?
Well, I think the show is done, yeah. But tomorrow night, it starts at 10 o'clock, 21 hours from now, so call back.
Okay,
thanks.
Sounds
appreciate
good.
It. All right. Bye. Yes, you have no idea how much I appreciate it. I don't like talking to myself. All right. We thank John for screening all your calls, and I thank a lot of you who called. Yeah, and we got to a lot of your requests, including Gilbert O'Sullivan twice, and we'll get to more of them tomorrow night. So until then, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air as well. Couldn't do it without him. But above all, again, I thank those of you who called. So please, 21 hours from now, make it a date. Do it again right here. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.